If you have a Bible this morning, you can turn it to the book of Colossians, chapter 1. Let's pray together before we begin. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that the entrance of your word brings light. And Father, we pray this morning that your word would illuminate our hearts and minds and lives, and that today we would receive something that we can take with us and use in our everyday lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Please read together with me, Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when I first got to Uganda, they told me that the one thing it is very important to do here in Uganda is to greet one another. In fact, when I was standing over there at the beginning of service, Pastor Craig came in and I heard him say to a brother, Wasuziotia nyo. Those of you who don't know what that means, you can ask him later. He'll tell you. That's a greeting. And it is very important to greet whenever you meet somebody. Even if you don't know them, sometimes you greet. Amen? Here in the book of Colossians, we're going to get into this new study, and Paul is giving his greeting. It's not in Lugandan, but here we see it nevertheless in these first two verses, a greeting to the church, which is at a place called Colossae. And that place is very near the church, which is in Ephesus. In fact, these two letters, Ephesians and Colossians, were written to the same churches in the same area there. And that is the area of today. If you look on a map, you look at the country of Turkey. Do you know where that is? There in Asia. It was called Asia there, Asia Minor. Turkey is there, and that's where these places are. You go there today, I don't think there are many believers there in that area. Are there? Christians? I think you'll find Muslims there in that area today. But in these days, when the church first started, there was a good group of churches in that area, and this church was one of them. And we're going to see the things that God has delivered through the Apostle Paul to that church and to our church today. He goes on to say, to the saints, verse 2, and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae. So here's the people that he was writing to. He calls them there saints. Do you know what a saint is? How many of you know what a saint is? Maybe some of you come from Roman Catholicism, the background, and you think of a saint as someone who has a halo, that shiny thing. They're tall, taller than most. They have maybe a staff, a big Bible, a long robe. Have you seen them before? And that's the church there says that's a saint. You have to do some good works. You have to do miracles, all of these different things. But Paul is writing to this church and he's saying to them, to the saints. And the Bible declares, you may know this, you may not, that all who put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ are called saints. Have you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning? Is Jesus your Savior? Is He your Lord? Congratulations, you're a saint. And so on your way out, you can greet me and you can say, thank you, Saint Brian. And to you, I'll say, thank you, Saint, whatever your name is, I'll say it. A saint isn't someone who is better than everybody else. A saint is someone who has put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and have received His life, His holiness, His righteousness given to them. That's a saint. And so as he is writing to these people in this church, we can know that he is also writing by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to us who are saints here today. Some of you are maybe not saints here today, but those who believe in Jesus, you're saints. Grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I've said this before, I'll say it again. People in this world are looking for peace, aren't they? They're looking for satisfaction in their life, a peace that there's no, you know, people are always striving for that, looking for peace, trying to find it in different ways. If only my business can be successful and prosperous, then I will have inner peace, some say. If only I can marry a rich, beautiful girl, some of the guys say, then I'll have peace in my life. If only, and you can fill in the blank, whatever it is. If only I had this certain amount of money, then I would have peace, inner peace in my life. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. And here's the truth. If you're looking for peace, which everybody is, you're not going to find it anywhere except for Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the only place. So, this morning, if you're looking for peace, contentment in your heart, in your soul, satisfaction in your life, look no further than Jesus Christ. And that's why he always says grace and peace. He never says peace and grace. Did you know that? In the Bible, you look at all these letters that the Apostle Paul, he never says peace and grace. Do you know why? Because you're never, ever going to experience God's peace unless you experience the grace that is in Jesus Christ first. That's the truth. That's why he says it in that grace and peace. And Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Are you troubled this morning? Are you afraid about something? This morning, come to Jesus Christ again and say, Christ, I need your grace. I need your peace. In verse 3, he says, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you, as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you, since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. As you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. So we've seen the greeting. Are you following me here? We've seen the greeting to the saints, Saint Brian, whatever your name is, Saint you. grace and peace, receiving the grace of Jesus in order to have peace in this life. And now we're going to look at the gospel of grace. The gospel of grace. Those two words. You know, the word gospel, it really means what? Do you know? Good news. That's what the word gospel means. Simply good news. Good news about Jesus and what he has done on the cross for us. And grace is that thing that God has given to us freely without us having to do anything to deserve it. That's grace. You may want to note this, but I like to think of grace. You think of the letters in grace. G-R-A-C-E. This is an English lesson, by the way, spelling. Grace, this is an easy way to remember it. G, God's, R, riches. A, at, C, Christ's, E, expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. Can you remember that? Grace, G-R-A-C-E. God's riches at Christ's expense. Praise the Lord. And this is the good news of God's grace. The gospel of grace is what he's talking about in these verses. And he says, we give thanks to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that's where grace comes from, praying always for you. You see, he talks there, first of all, about prayer. Do you know what that is, prayer? It's when you come in the name of Jesus before the throne of God the Father and you ask him something or you thank him for something or you just talk to him. That's prayer. Talking to God. Did you know you can talk to God through Jesus Christ? And prayer, really, in this passage, is the way in which the gospel of grace is spread throughout the world. Paul was a missionary. He was an evangelist. In fact, he was an apostle of the early church. And he went to different places and he preached the gospel, the good news. He planted churches. He saw people come to the Lord. But in all of his life, in his writings, in everything we know about him, we know this. He was a man of prayer. He prayed for the people to whom he was talking to. He prayed for the churches that he planted. He prayed for himself. He prayed for other people. And prayer was the way in which his ministry of preaching the gospel was so successful. Do you want to have a successful ministry of preaching the gospel to your friends and family? Pray. Pray for them. Pray for yourself. Pray for others. In Psalm 2, verse 8, it says, "Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, and the ends of the earth for your possessions." That's speaking to the Son of God, Jesus Christ, but applies to us also in a way. Ask of me, God is saying. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, the ends of the earth for your possession. Do you want to see people saved? Do you want to see nations come to the Lord? Do you want to see your family, your friends, your tribe mates, your country, your continent? Do you want to see people come to the Lord? Pray. Ask God. Because prayer is the way in which we communicate with God, and God is the one who alone can save people. Amen? I've got news for you this morning. You can't save someone. Did you know that? Your great speaking ability has no power to save. Your beautiful good looks are not able to save people. It is God, by His Holy Spirit, working in their heart that saves a person from hell. And that's why we need to do what? Pray that God would do the work of spreading the gospel through you and through me as we preach it effectively. So pray. If you want to see the gospel spread, and also prayer spreads the gospel, but fruit comes from the gospel. I think you know what fruit is. Here in Uganda is a wonderful place. Many fruits are grown in our fertile soil in Uganda. Amen? We love it so much. And it says, since we heard verse 4 of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you as it has also in all the world, and, look at that, is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you, since the day you heard and knew the grace of God. Of God in truth. Do you see what the gospel does? This, by the way, this morning we're having a Bible study. We're studying God's Word. We're just getting in there and learning. Praise the Lord. That is what the gospel does. It produces fruit in a person's life. So we pray that the gospel is spread. We preach the gospel with our mouth. And as the gospel is received into a person's life, that person who receives the gospel is going to bring forth what? Fruit. That's right. And fruit, it's not talking about mangoes, avocado. Is avocado a fruit? Some say yes, some no. I'm not a person who studies these sort of things, but let's say for this morning's study that it is. These fruits, it's not talking about these types of fruits. You're not going to all of a sudden have fruits. Mangoes, avocados. These things coming out of... When it says fruits, it's talking about those things in a person's life that are godly. Three of them are given here. Faith, that's a fruit of the gospel. Faith, trusting in God, believing in God, living for God, living by faith, that's a fruit. Hope, it says there, the hope, verse 5, which is laid up for you in heaven, which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Hope is a fruit that is seen in a person that accepts the gospel. And there's one more there, a fruit that we can see, and that is, does anybody know? Love. Love. We see it twice here in our passage. So those three fruits should be seen in a person's life who has received the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? And let me say this. If those things are not found in your life, if you're not a person who trusts in God, who lives by faith in Jesus Christ, if you don't have any hope, there's no real hope of heaven in your life, if there is no love in your heart for one another, for the people in the world, there's a good chance that you have never really accepted the gospel. Amen? Because when you accept the gospel, when I accept the good news about Jesus, when I accept Him into my life, then my life is going to change. I cannot be the same as I was before I accepted Jesus Christ. Amen? And there are many people today who say, praise God, who say, praise the Lord, who say, amen, who worship the Lord, they raise their hands, they sing the songs. But in their life, there has been no real change. There has been no fruit produced on a tree. If I went by a tree, for example, this one in the back here, is that a tree or a bush? We'll pray for it. If I went to that tree, you know what? I went to that tree and I went and I looked behind all of the leaves. Amen? I went and looked behind all of the branches. There's two. But anyway, I looked behind them. I'm looking for a mango. But I don't see one on that tree, do you? I don't. Would it be right for me to say that that tree is a mango tree? No, it's not. Because I don't see any mangoes there. That's not a mango tree, because if it was, it would be producing what? Mangoes. Did you understand that? A person who says, praise the Lord, who says, I've received the gospel, I'm a believer in Jesus, but their life does not produce those fruits of being a Christian, that person cannot call themselves a Christian. Saved. Born again. Amen? Don't tell me with your mouth that you're saved. Tell me with your life that you're saved. And Paul says, God says here, the gospel brings forth fruit. If you accept it, it will do that. God will do that. Faith, hope, and love toward one another. Do you love your brothers and sisters in the Lord? Let me ask you. Do you love them? Some of them are a bit harder to love than others. But even the ones who are a bit hard to love, do you still love them anyway? You know, the Bible says that we know, 1 John chapter 3, verse 14, we know that we have passed from death to life, because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. The Word of God says this. If you don't love one another, you're not really saved. If you don't love your brother and sister, especially in the Lord Jesus Christ, you abide in death. You have not passed from death, from hell, to life, to heaven. Do you believe that this morning? And so if you really hate somebody, maybe in this room, You look across the room, you say, that guy, that girl, I hate them. I just can't love. You had better examine your life, your heart, as to whether you have really accepted Jesus Christ. And so the gospel produces fruit. And that's good news for me. I preach the gospel, the good news about Jesus, because I know if someone accepts the message of Jesus Christ, then God is faithful to produce fruit in their lives. Amen? Many of us think as the Christian life, being saved is kind of like a factory where we accept Jesus and now we have to really start producing good works for God, right? All right, now I'm saved. Now I have to pray at least 1 hour each day. I have to do this for God. I have to do that for God. I have to produce these works for God. And you know, being saved, having a relationship with God, is not so much like a factory where we have to produce good works for God, or else God's going to chase us away. He's going to close down the factory. The Christian life is not so much like a factory. It's more like a garden. More like a place where trees grow, where fruit is produced. And you know, it happens naturally. As you follow Jesus, as you love Him, as you have a relationship with Him, your life naturally is going to produce fruits. Amen? Let me just ask you this. Have any of you tried to make, we call it from scratch, from nothing, a mango? Have you ever tried that before? To make one? Just from your own? You know what? You can't do it. You go home and try it. You take some, maybe some flour, I don't know, some water. You try to make a mango, you can't make one. You can't produce one by yourselves. It has to be something that a tree, a mango tree, naturally produces. Amen? Do you understand that? And your life can either be like a factory trying to produce mangoes, or your life can be a relationship with Jesus Christ where naturally, by His grace, fruit is produced. Praise the Lord. And let me tell you, it's much better to be the tree than to be the factory. Amen? Grace is the truth of the gospel. The gospel is spread by prayer. The gospel brings forth fruit. And grace is the truth of the gospel. And that's what it says in verse 6. As you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. And there are many people today who are preaching a gospel that is not the grace of God. They are preaching a message that sounds something like this. If you do this, good works. You can just prayer or fasting, whatever. If you do this, and you do this, and you do this, and you do this, then God will save you. Have you ever heard that gospel message before? Yeah, we've heard it before. You can believe in Jesus, but that's not enough. You also have to do A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Have you heard that gospel message before? That is not a true gospel. And in fact, another place in Scripture, Galatians chapter 1 verse 6 says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from Him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. Any other message besides grace is a different gospel. And he goes on to say, verse 8, Galatians chapter 1, but even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you, then what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Did you hear that? That's serious business. Amen? That's some serious business. If anybody is preaching a message about God, how to be saved, how to be right with God, that has anything else except for free grace, let them be accursed. Damned to hell is what that word literally means. And God is, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus lived a perfect life, and He died for our sins freely. We did nothing to deserve it. Amen? We did nothing to earn it. Forgiveness by Jesus Christ. We did nothing to deserve it. In fact, we did everything to deserve His punishment. Everything to deserve His judgment, His wrath, all of this cursing. That's what we deserved. And Christ came to give us salvation, to give us life abundantly, and we didn't deserve it. That's why it is by grace. And God is saying, I've done this for you, and it's free. You just have to open up your hand and say, thank you. Amen? You don't have to do a lot of things in order to receive the gift of salvation. You don't even have to pray for 1 minute. You don't have to fast. You don't have to tithe. You don't have to go to a priest. You don't have to walk a long distance. You don't have to give money to the poor. You don't have to do anything at all. You just have to say, thank you. It's by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourself, not of works. It's a gift of God so that no one can boast. And if anybody else is preaching a different message, you just turn them to Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 and verse 8. And you say, you know what, man? You better be careful. You had better watch out. Because God's gift is given freely. I don't have to pay one thing. Amen? Yesterday was Christmas. Did anybody get a gift for Christmas? Huh? Some? Most? How much did you have to pay the person who gave you a gift? And by the way, if you had to pay someone for giving you a gift, it's not really a gift. They've tricked you. They've deceived you. A gift is something that is free, given freely. And you don't have to pay someone for a gift. You just have to say, thank you. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is a gift of God's grace, and you don't have to pay God anything to receive it. You don't have to work for Him to earn it. It's given by grace. That's the gospel. And finally, let's look at a closing prayer, Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 9. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, and He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. This is a prayer. Remember I said that Paul was a man of prayer. Gospel was spread by prayer. Prayer is powerful because we're actually asking God, and God says, ask of me and I'll do it. Prayer is as powerful as God is. You can think about that. And here he is praying for the church, for our church, for us. And there's a few things, four things that we can learn from this prayer. Please follow with me and then we'll close. First of all, he prayed for the plans and purposes of God. In verse 9, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You see, the first thing he asked for is God's plans and God's purposes. What is God's will? That was really what he wanted to know. Have you ever wanted to know that? What is God's will for my life? What does God want me to do with my life? Does He want me to start a business? Does He want me to go to school? Does He want me to marry this girl or this guy? What does God want me to do with my life? Have you ever had those questions? What is the will of God? I think that's the number one question that pastors get asked. I just want to know, what is God's will for my life? Can you just give me a detailed instructions from the Lord to tell me exactly everything I'm going to do in my life? What is God's will? Well, here, more than talking about His specific will for you, though that's included, He is talking about His general will that we all know. We know some of what the will of God is. Did you know that? It is His will that we love one another. Praise the Lord. I know that for sure. So someone says, Pastor, what is the will of God for my life? I say, well, let me pray. Ah, the Lord just told me. It is His will for you to love your brothers and sisters. It is His will that we are sanctified, the Bible says. That means made more and more like Him, better and better. It is His will that we are growing in spiritual maturity. And so I pray. Hang on, let me pray the Lord's will for your life. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Okay, I'll tell Him. It is God's will that you are sanctified, that you grow in your relationship with Him. You see, there are certain things we know about God's will. And let me tell you this. When you start doing those things that you know to be God's will, then you will find out the things that you don't know God's will for your life. Do you get that? Do you understand that? You start walking by faith, start loving, start reading God's word and doing what it says, and you're going to find yourself right in the very will of God. But here he still prays. You know, if we knew God's plans for our lives, then we wouldn't need to have faith, right? You think about that. Why do you have to have faith? It's to trust in God, to believe God will take care of you each step of the way. He will provide for you. He will guide you. That's faith. Did you get that? If we had a perfect map of everything God was going to do and everything we needed to do, we wouldn't need faith anymore. We could say, thank you, God. I'll just follow this now. Do you get that? Faith is a funny thing. You know, it's kind of difficult for us to have faith in God. It's like the man who was rock climbing. There was a guy who was climbing up a mountain and he slipped and he fell down off of a cliff. Well, as he was falling, he grabbed onto a small tree on the side of the mountain, just hanging there off of the cliff. You know, if he fell, he would surely die. And he started shouting, is there anybody up there? Save me, please. Help me. Is there anybody up there? And at last, he finally heard someone's voice. He said, I'm up here. I know how to save you. Just let go of the tree and I'll throw the rope down and save you. Just let go of the tree first. And the man was hanging onto the tree and he thought for a few minutes and then he said, is there anybody else up there? You see, that's faith. We're not willing to let go and trust in the Lord that He will save us. He will direct us. We have our life all held tightly, trying to make it for ourselves, and God is saying, let go and I'll help you. And sometimes we're like that guy. We say, is there anybody else up there? That's faith. We need to walk by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave Himself for us. And that is following His will. He will guide you if you're willing to be led by Him. So they prayed for the plans and the purposes of God, for His wisdom, guidance, spiritual understanding. Secondly, they prayed for the path of pleasing Him. In verse 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. Pleasing God. Do you want to please God? Do you want to make God happy this morning? I do. And that's why we need to pray. God, help me to please You. Help me in all of the things that I do to be pleasing to You, pleasing in Your sight, to be fruitful in every good work. How are we going to be fruitful in every good work? Do you remember? Are we just going to really try and push it out, fruit, try to make something? We're going to be fruitful in every good work as we walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. As He does His work in our lives, we will be fruitful. We will be pleasing to Him. It's God's work in every way. And third, we need to pray for the power that we need. Verse 11, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy. You see, we can't do the things that God wants us to do unless we first have the power that God gives to us. Did you understand that? Have you ever driven a car before? Let me suggest to illustrate this, you try this. Go to your car and take all of the petrol out. Take all of the petrol, the fuel out of your car. That leave nothing left in there. Now get in your car and turn the key and try to drive it away. Do you know what will happen? Nothing. How far can you go in a car that has no fuel? 1 meter? 2 meters? You're thinking to yourself, it depends if it's on a hill or not. If it's on a hill, I can go. I think you get the point. If you don't have fuel in your car, you're not going to drive anywhere. You're not going to go anywhere. Amen? And God is saying to us this morning, we need the power, the fuel of the Holy Spirit in order to do the things that God wants us to do. Amen? We need His power. We can't do it on our own because on our own, we're like a car without fuel. We need His Holy Spirit to strengthen us, to fuel us, to guide us, to give us that power that we need. And if you want that power from the Holy Spirit, do you know how to get it? Pray. That's right. Pray. It's right here. Paul says, I pray for that strength. I pray for that power. Are you weak this morning? Do you have no ability to do God's will? This is what you do. Close your eyes. You don't even have to close your eyes. You can just sit there right now and say, God, please empower me with the Holy Spirit. And He will. That's His promise. And finally, in this prayer, he praises God and thanks Him for the work that he has done. Verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and transferred us or brought us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. And you can see the great and awesome and powerful and wonderful things that God has given to us through Jesus Christ, his Son. Amen? Is that good news this morning? Is that the gospel? Is that going to bring forth fruit in our lives? It is. And let's pray for one another and love one another and follow after Jesus Christ this morning. Amen? Let's stand together, please. Father, we do love you. Thank you so much. Lord, thank you that you have not left us as orphans. You have not abandoned us, but you have sent us the Holy Spirit to be with us, to be in us, and to come upon us for power, for ability, for fuel to drive in this life. Jesus, we thank you for the work that you've done in redemption, for saving us, for taking us from the power of darkness to the kingdom of yourself, Jesus. Lord, we pray this morning that each person would be blessed, encouraged, strengthened, and may they go from this place bearing more fruit than ever, Lord. Pray that you would do that work in us and through us by your grace. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.